Our Old Testament lesson today is one verse from the book of Proverbs. A cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson is a bit longer, coming from the Gospel of John, one of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to his followers. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I've already said, in the early church, the Sunday after Easter was observed by the faithful as a day of joy and laughter, with both parties and shenanigans to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. The custom of Bright Sunday, as it was called, came from the idea of some early church religious thinkers that God played a joke on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. Easter was God's supreme joke played on death. In Latin, the risus pascalis, the Easter laugh. It was a time for clergy and people to tell jokes and have fun. And so today, let our laughter lighten our spirits. As the psalmist says, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Or as Reinhold Niebuhr has put it, humor is in fact a prelude to faith, and laughter is the beginning of prayer. If that's the case, that makes laughter one of the keys to defeating evil within this world. Because Jesus appears on earth to deliver God's punchline, Jesus comes to turn things upside down. An upside down can be as funny as an inside-out umbrella on a windy day, or a newspaper that goes out of control when you're trying to turn to page 11 in a crowded place. Upside down, inside out, wrong way around. It's all crazy and wrong and funny. But remember, our God is full of surprises. Of course, as we entered more serious times and the Victorian era gets blamed, and then kind of a revived Puritanism in early 20th century America. The celebration of Jesus' resurrection became sorely restrained in at least many Presbyterian and Reformed churches. And laughing out loud in church was not allowed, with maybe rare exceptions. If the pastor told a mild joke during the sermon, it would be polite to grin and offer a quiet chuckle. But as a rule, if you laughed in church, you got in trouble. Just ask me and my brothers. We, like all kids, tended to get bored at some point during longer church services. And so we would try and make the other person giggle. We'd draw funny pictures on the bulletin. We'd make silly faces at each other. And if we got one of us to giggle, my mother's arms would automatically go out, grasp us tightly until we quieted down. But you know, laughter was created by God, for heaven's sake. Like all things created by God, it is good for God's people. One saying goes that laughter is the best medicine, and there's actual scientific research to back that up. Over years, researchers have conducted studies to explore the impact of laughter on health. And after evaluating participants before and after a humorous event, studies reveal that episodes of laughter help to reduce pain, to decrease stress-related hormones, and to boost the immune system in participants. Laughter therapy has helped to lower blood pressure and increase endorphins in the brain. If we laugh at ourselves when we're out of sorts, it is so much better than taking it out on others, on ourselves, or on God. And today, more than ever, people are turning to humor for therapy and to help improve the quality of life for patients with chronic illnesses. Yes, we may say, but we don't picture Jesus as laughing, right? No, that's wrong. Think about Jesus, who Jesus hung around with. He hung out with salty fishermen, with party girls, with common ordinary folk who needed to laugh just to make it through the drudgery of their days. And the religious people disliked him for it. They criticized him. Well, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, Simon Jenkins, a theologian and cartoonist, has observed, now, do you think it really is possible that Jesus sat down with those ordinary people, eating their food, drinking their wine, listening to their stories and jokes without ever laughing himself? So while the party was going on all around him, he was unsmiling. It's not possible. He kept getting invited back. Jesus was very popular with these people, and they loved him. And Jesus uses humor in his parables and teachings and in his actions. See, one example, the image of the plank in one eye that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. If you picture it, it's humorous. It's incongruous. And it helped Jesus hold people's attention. And it's made that lesson stick throughout the years. Humor also helps with humility, especially if you're in some type of high position. It pays not to take ourselves too seriously. We should laugh it up a little. Having a sense of humor is a gift because it can put things into perspective. And if we can laugh at ourselves, we will stay less arrogant and more compassionate to faults in other people. And this compassion is exactly what makes forgiveness possible. Jesus focused the mission for his followers in our reading today. If you forgive sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive, they are retained. Sent out in the power of the Spirit, our primary business on a day-to-day basis is proclamation and forgiveness. That can be hard words sometimes for us to hear, because while we often want forgiveness for our own faults, payback is often what we want for others. But forgiveness must come from the large heart of God and acted in a world that is able to laugh at itself. Because to forgive is also to break cycles of death by a fresh act of generosity. Forgiveness is not romantic, religion, or casual hugs. It's a decision to begin at a different place. Without forgiveness, the world works its way to destructiveness, generation after generation. The curse of unforgiveness leads to dehumanization and abuse, to despair and brutality. Jesus breathing on his disciples could be thought of in effect as a holy laugh that brings forgiveness and new life. And how good it feels to take in that air, feel it expanding our lungs, sending it out in a physiological act unique to the human animal in laughter. Humor can often depend on putting two unlikely things together. And sometimes the tension between two items or two people or two positions can be relieved by humor. In this case, if you can read the cartoon with a dinosaur holding a Bible, and the caption is, I don't think either side's going to be happy. One has to know both parts of the discussion in order to get the humor. And in that case, explaining a joke will compel each side to be able to put words to the other side, and that is a start of conversation. And the laughter that results can sometimes help us consider different perspectives with more openness and less antagonism. Do you still doubt that Jesus lacked a sense of humor? Think about that first Easter. Jesus played "Now You See Him, Now You Don't" with the disciples. He calls Mary's name and then disappears. He came to a group who was still afraid after the crucifixion. There they were cowering and afraid, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you." They checked him out, touching his hands and his side. It was him, and then he popped back out. Another day when Thomas was there, he popped back in. And I'm sure Jesus' eyes were twinkling at the look on everybody's face. I can imagine that this is how Thomas felt when he finally encountered the risen Christ for himself. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Peace is a word spoken to us as well. It's a word of assurance. It's a word of assault that puts to flight all that runs counter to peace. What runs counter to peace in our lives? Anxiety, disappointment, fearfulness, anger, hostility, alienation, insecurity. And with the risen Christ, those are no longer operative powers in this world. It is not true with this one who has stood against death and prevailed. Jesus' life began again, and our lives begin again at a different place. We can celebrate that God has brought us laughter. God has rescued us from despair and ambushed us with joy. Lifted up with hope and the breath of new life, we too are carried on a wind from God. For God so loved the world that Jesus Christ hung on a cross, loving the unlovable. What beautiful gift in return cannot be offered to the Lord, whether it's a balloon or a song or some joy that sits within us waiting to have the lid taken off. The scriptures say there's a time to laugh and a time to weep. It's not hard to see reasons for crying in a world where there is so much injustice or hatred. But it's also not very hard to see reasons for laughter in a world where God's love is also so manifest. Freed from sorrow, at least for this moment, we can let loose with laughter, blow our kazoos, sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart," and dance around like holy fools, all to the glory of Christ. Amen.